This is Jay Sekulow. More financial rewards for the Palestinian Authority and the Muslim Brotherhood. The giver of the gift, U.S. taxpayers.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
It is paramount, essential, urgent that the Egyptian economy get stronger, that it get back on its feet. There has to be a sense of security. And there has to be a sense of economic and political viability.
Now, here in the West Bank, I realize that this continues to be a difficult time for the Palestinian Authority financially. So I'm pleased that in recent weeks, the United States has been able to provide additional assistance to help the Palestinian Authority bolster its finances.
I emphasize again, as strongly as I can, we're not here to interfere. I'm here to listen.
You know, I'm not here to interfere. We're giving them money, Skip. We have the right to interfere. And if we're giving them money, we have the right to interfere.
We have the right to say, we're giving you this money for this purpose. And if you don't use it for that purpose, we're not going to give it to you anymore.
You know, we're not their ATM. And what we have been, what we have been doing, essentially, is insulating them and protecting them from the consequences of their bad decisions. And as long as they don't endure the consequences of their bad decisions, they have no incentive to change course. They have no incentive to do anything other than what they are, which is fighting a long, long war to try to destroy Israel.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Fox News is reporting right now Border Patrol cuts because of the sequester. It's going to leave the border area less secure than it already is. This is on the heels of the sequestration orders that came down out of the White House. And you're asking yourself, we're having to cut our own border security. We're cutting FAA towers. On and on the list goes. But when it comes to giving radical Islamic terrorist organizations billions of dollars, the government, our government, is not hesitant to give your money and my money to these regimes. And Jordan, as we look at the situation, I'm watching it right now, Border Patrol to leave sections unprotected. They're saying despite the fact that they have full funding, but that they're saying that they have to save money and they're trying to figure out ways to cut this money. So they're going to cut down on border security and Border Patrol security while we're giving the Muslim Brotherhood $1 billion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at what we are doing right now, I mean, with our own financial situation still here in Washington, D.C., the lines at the airports, these last-minute deals, the Border Patrol cuts, I mean, the list goes on. And the White House isn't open for tourists. But shifting, I mean, $500 million to the Palestinian Authority, that's the priority for the administration. And they wrote the sequestration. They wrote who would get cut first, who would feel the pain, and how to make people feel the pain. That was part of their policy, still is part of their policy, is that the actions they take to mitigate or try to mitigate the cuts cannot actually conflict
right
with what the administration has said it will be doing, which is to hurt people.
And folks, how do you feel about the fact that if your son or daughter or grandchildren are in Washington for their visit to Washington, D.C., they can't go on a tour of the White House, but we can give $1 billion to the Muslim Brotherhood and to the Palestinian Authority-led government, which is now in cahoots with Hamas? How do you feel about that one? And how do you feel about the fact that we're borrowing it from China? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me quickly go to David French here. David, we've got a petition up right now, over 135,000 signatures and growing, to stop this money. Let's quickly tell everybody what the petition is designed to do.
Yeah, it's very simple. We're just demanding that before we sequester our own military, before we sequester our own essential programs, let's sequester the jihadists.
I think that's a pretty fair way to do this. We're going to be joined by Skip Ash when we come back from the break. Folks, here's what we want you to do. As we go to the break, you go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. You can sign on to that petition to sequester these terrorist regimes with not borrowing money from China, not giving our taxpayer dollars. You can do it at ACLJ.org, or you can simply call us at 1-877-989-2255. Cutting down border security, but giving money to the Hamas and to the Muslim Brotherhood. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Sign that petition now. Have your voice heard. 877-989-2255, ACLJ.org.
Every American is being asked to tighten their financial belts. Deep cuts are on the horizon thanks to the budget mess in Washington and the sequester. But amazingly, in the midst of this financial crisis, the Obama administration is planning to send more taxpayer dollars overseas to terrorist-led governments. That's right, first it was an additional $250 million to Egypt and the hostile Muslim Brotherhood. Now the Obama administration is planning to give $500 million to the terrorist-led Palestinian Authority, an organization that celebrates suicide bombers. Stand with the ACLJ now. Sign on to our petition. It's time to stop sending our taxpayer dollars to jihadist radicals. Let's sequester terrorists before we sequester Americans. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I'm Michael W. Smith.
Hey, what's up? I'm Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
I'm Kevin Max of Audio Adrenaline.
I'm Toby Mack.
This is John Foreman from Switchfoot, urging you to sign the petition to free Saeed Abedini.
Would you join us as we petition and pray?
Help us share his story.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about, of course, the situation in the Middle East between the Palestinian Authority getting millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and the Muslim Brotherhood-led government in Egypt getting hundreds of millions of dollars, almost $1 billion as well. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We did get some calls about the cases yesterday and, of course, one today on the marriage issue at the Supreme Court of the United States. I went through the transcripts yesterday. I was on Sean Hannity's television broadcast and his radio program yesterday as well. I think it was a draw, folks. I think the standing issue is going to be significant. I'm not sure the court's going to want to not even address the issue. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it because there is no decision, and it's hard to read the tea leaves. I do want to play a soundbite from Justice Anthony Kennedy, and then we'll get right back to this topic, which kind of, to me, sums up where this case is probably going. This is on that same-sex marriage case. Listen to number 22.
The problem with the case is that you're really asking for us to go into uncharted waters, and you can play with that metaphor. There's a wonderful destination, or there's a cliff, whatever the metaphor is. But you're doing so in a case where the opinion is very narrow, basically that once the state goes halfway, it has to go all the way or 70% of the way. And you're doing so in a case where there's a substantial question on standing. I just wonder if the case was properly granted.
That may be the way that one ends, folks. So we'll see what happens. The Defense of Marriage Act case is being argued today. If we get some information about that, we will pass that on to you. Let me go to Skip, and then we're going to go to your phone calls, folks. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Skip, you were just in the region. We talked about this briefly on the broadcast yesterday in our office in Jerusalem. We're handling something else very sensitive from our office in the Middle East right now, folks. I can't even go into detail on, but I will tell you I'm staring at some very important documents on another matter. Your sense of how concerned the region is with the instability with the Muslim Brotherhood, what it means in the Sinai, and also the situation with the Palestinian Authority formalizing the relationship with Hamas.
Well, it's critical for the Israelis. Remember, the Israelis, it's a tiny country. Most people who haven't been there do not realize how small a country it is. You can see from one side of the country to the other from Jerusalem. And the issue is that now we have more instability on the north. We have more instability on the south. We have the danger of Iran. So the Israelis are very concerned. They're looking right now at the stability of these governments and whether these governments are going to be able to live up to the commitments they've made for peace, Jordan, for instance, or Egypt. And that is what has allowed Israel for the last 30 to 40 years to have relative peace. And now that whole situation is reverting, or it appears to be reverting, to the status quo ante, where it was very insecure in Israel and they had to be very alert on their borders. So there is a great concern about how this is all going to play out.
David, what message are we sending by giving the president's sending by giving this money over to these regimes?
Uh,
I hate to use this word, but we're patsies. I mean, whenever it's the same pattern again and again and again, as you point out in your Fox column yesterday, it's they defy us, then they beg for money with the sort of veiled threat that if they don't get the money that we want, that bad things could happen. And then we give them the money with no assurance that it will be spent properly, just based on wishes and promises. They'll defy us again, and then they'll come back asking for more money.
Yeah, and Jordan, your sense right now is that there is a growing momentum on Capitol Hill to not allow future funding, that we could stop this future funding if we stick firm here.
Absolutely, and that's why it's so important to actually speak up on these issues. I think the sequester provides the perfect opportunity to draw the contrast when you've got our government making decisions, $500 million decisions to help other governments when our own people are facing cuts. They're facing fear of not getting paid. There are things being shut down, lines are longer, and we don't even have a budget here approved, and yet we can figure out how to get $500 million to groups which have been ineffective and irresponsible and don't act like they're so thankful for our money, honestly. I mean, for $500 million, you would think the Palestinian Authority would be jumping up and down a little bit, but instead they criticize the United States every opportunity they get.
Well, folks, that's why we're saying you got to fight back. We're going to take your calls in a moment, but I want to ask you to do a call to action of your own right now, and that is to speak out on this issue. And you could do that by joining over 135,000 other Americans who are doing just that. If you don't want to have to borrow money from the Chinese government, see our borders lose security with Mexico over the sequester cuts, then ship the money that we're borrowing from the Chinese over to the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas, then you add your name right now to this petition. You can do it at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And let me encourage you, when you're on the website, make an online donation to the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge. Looks like we're going to, with your help, we can make our goal here, folks. And that's a huge benefit to us. For any amount you donate, we get a matching grant for it. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Jordan, let's go to the phones.
Yep, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Jennifer calling in from California, line 2. Jennifer, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. You know, by giving money to Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood and taking away funding for U.S. Border Patrol and air traffic control, this administration is making Israel and America more vulnerable for attack.
Well, look, I mean, the FAA says they're going to close 149 air towers because they can't come up with $637 million. I could come up with that $637 million right now. Don't give the money to the Palestinian Authority. Don't give it to the Muslim Brotherhood. You could keep the air traffic control towers open, and maybe we can have our borders actually patrolled during the day as they're supposed to be. But, that doesn't seem to be what the administration wants in Washington. And the reality is, and I think we have to look at this through a lens of Christian citizenship. Why are we doing this? We need to be asking ourselves, what is the basis upon which we are doing this? And David, for the life of me, I cannot figure out. The policy's not worked in the region. Libya is a mess. Syria is a mess. They're saying now Syria is definitely going to be controlled by al-Qaeda operatives. So that's the rebels, so to speak.
You know, it's foolish, and it's a mistake we keep making again and again and again. You see administration after administration come in and say, well, if we're going to treat the Palestinians right, we're going to treat the Muslim Brotherhood right, and then they'll be our friends. We're being played again and again. They take what we will give them, they ask for more, and they pursue their own agenda. That is what happens. It was what will continue to happen. And there's real harm here. I love that you said Christian citizenship. The Palestinian Authority pays terrorists, sometimes using our money,
right,
that are in Israeli jails. Terrorists in Israeli jails get a stipend from the Palestinian Authority. They celebrate suicide bombers.
We've actually seen them. We have been to the court cases where those proceedings go on. Jordan, when you look at the situation, and I want to get your sense on this, and I want to get Skip's, and we'll get another phone call in a moment here. When you look at what we're dealing with, the fact that we're not only funding these organizations, but funding terrorists that are and then giving them weapons to boot, really does point to what the problem is here.
Absolutely. I mean, the problem is that we have the same mindset, the same thinking, the same ideas that, here we can make friends by giving money. And the truth is there are people that respond and there are people that don't respond. And you would think over decades, and we're talking decades here, it's not like the Palestinian Authority is new and this issue is new. These are not new leaders, not new people. These are people that you know and have a history. The truth is we should be getting results. And instead, they refuse to negotiate. I mean, how about say this? We'll give you your money when you go negotiate without preconditions and you admit now that you're not getting all of Jerusalem back and that Israel's going to be a Jewish state. There's not going to be a single Palestinian solution and a right of return for everybody who is related to someone who may have lived there in the last 150 or 200 years. Yeah, and then you can get money. But yeah. Until then, you know what? Figure it out. Try to get your people fed. Try to have a banking system and see what happens when you don't. All right. Because then they rise up.
Let's take your phone calls, folks, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. How do you feel about your money going there? Going to Hamas, going to Hezbollah, going to the Muslim Brotherhood, while our border security is being cut here, while we're seeing our air traffic control towers being closed. How do you feel about that? 800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Hassan in Massachusetts, line 6. Hassan, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Hassan.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, you're on the air.
Good, thank you. I would like to start off by saying thank you for the opportunity to share my comments.
Sure.
I want to let you guys know that my name is Hassan Manawi, and I'm an evangelical Christian. And I was listening, I've been listening a couple of days, and I just really didn't have a chance to give a phone call. And I want to ask you a question, just to know, because there seems to be a huge barrier of all the news and everything that happens in Palestine and in the Middle East period. We don't get as much information
right.
in the States about what happens and what is in the everyday life of a Palestinian. You know, and when I say Palestinian, I'm talking about the civilians that live there, the
right.
Christians and the Muslims. I'm not talking about.
Right.
Over there and extremists and activists, you know, because I have a lot of friends that do live there and that have families over there, and they actually have a 24/7 update on what their families go through, you know. And I'm talking about the Jews also that live in Israel.
I represent Palestinian Christians, so we know what they go through, and Palestinian Christians are being tortured by the very organizations we're funding, is the truth. And I can, after the break, Nassan, I'll go into more detail with you, so stay tuned listening. But the fact of the matter is we've had the case where the Christians are being persecuted by Hamas in the Gaza under Palestinian Authority control and Hamas control, and they're going to utilize our money and weapons to do it. I'm talking about killing people. Folks, if you want to stand up against this, and this is a good day to do it, ACLJ.org, or call us right now at 1-877-989-2255. You don't want your money going to these groups. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Sign that petition today. Have your voice heard. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. Every American is being asked to tighten their financial belts. Deep cuts are on the horizon, thanks to the budget mess in Washington and the sequester. But amazingly, in the midst of this financial crisis, the Obama administration is planning to send more taxpayer dollars overseas to terrorist-led governments. That's right, first it was an additional $250 million to Egypt and the hostile Muslim Brotherhood. Now the Obama administration is planning to give $500 million to the terrorist-led Palestinian Authority, an organization that celebrates suicide bombers. Stand with the ACLJ now. Sign on to our petition. It's time to stop sending our taxpayer dollars to jihadist radicals. Let's sequester terrorists before we sequester Americans. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Yes, everyone. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. Let me ask Skip Ash something here quickly. Skip, looking at the situation, as I said, you were just there. And, folks, our office in the Middle East is based in Jerusalem. We've got lawyers there. We've got government affairs people there. It's a really good, solid team. But you were just there. What is the kind of the sentiment of what's going on? I mean, I know there's concern. I know there's tension in the region. But is Iran still the big threat in all of this?
Iran is the biggest threat, and they recognize that. But they also recognize that if anything were to happen with Iran, Iran has proxies right on the borders of Israel. And not only might Iran respond, but also they would respond through their proxies. So they're very concerned about that. And they're also concerned about a lot of hypocrisy going on about this, you know, that they're being pressured to enter into negotiations with people who do not keep their word, who sign agreements over and over again, and then when it's convenient, they do something else. And how do you compel a country, a democratic country like Israel, to keep making the making contributions, making the going the extra mile when the other side takes advantage of them? It's you know, the United States, we don't have a clue on the hypocrisy on the part of the Arabs over there and how they play us with respect to Israel.
Yeah, and they're playing with our money to boot. Again, folks, if you want to sign on that petition, over 135,000 have, which is great. ACLJ.org, easy way to do it, ACLJ.org. And I do encourage you when you're there to make an online gift. We're in that matching challenge. Or call us at 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Jordan, let's go to the phones.
Yeah, back to the phone. So we go. People have been holding. Peter in Arizona, line four. Peter, welcome to JSEC You Live.
Hi, Peter.
Howdy.
Yes, sir.
I really appreciate what you and Jordan do.
Thanks.
You guys are amazing. Isn't it like a Benedict Arnold thing? If our president is giving money to people who have killed us and want to kill us, that seems treasonous.
Yeah, it's not going to be treason, but it's a policy. And I think, David, it's fair to say that the president's policy, I want to get Jordan's quick comment on this too, but I'll go to David first. The president has this view that he was going to go over, and he made that famous speech in Cairo, that he was going to go over there and all of a sudden he would kind of coalesce the Arab world and the Muslim world in particular. And what ended up happening was you ended up with this, you know, Arab Spring, which has turned into basically a breeding ground for the terrorists.
Oh, that's right. What he did is he essentially tossed all of our allies overboard, and he liberated this sort of Islamic radical movement that is now sweeping the Middle East. And it's going to have horrible long-term consequences. Someone said the other day, you know, there's this Marine saying that there's no better friend, no worse enemy than the United States Marine. It's almost like with Obama, we have no worse friend and no better enemy than the U.S.
And what, Jordan, is kind of the posture between the White House and Congress on this?
Well, I think, you know, you've seen Congress has been very aggressive, Republicans and Democrats demanding to more from the administration. Finally, we got the statement from Secretary of State Kerry, you know, for a situation like Saeed's. Now, in this situation, same kind of story. You've got people speaking up, people saying we're not going to fund this, but it's only about the future. And that's important for everyone to know right now. The future funding can be stopped, but there are billions in the coffers, and those aren't affected by the sequester. So the administration quietly keeps shifting money and shifting money. And I think all these fights go together. This is about American foreign policy in the current time period versus a kind of old school progressive way to look at the world, an FDR approach or even pre-World War II approach, instead of being a superpower. And look at how the other superpowers are operating around the world. They don't take this from people they give money to. If they're supporting the governments, these regimes or leaders, guess what? Those governments aren't crossing them. I wonder if the Palestinian Authority would do anything that if they receive money from China that would go against any kind of Chinese foreign policy. Think about that for a moment. If they took money from Russia, do you think they would cross Putin and criticize him when he was there? But yet they feel like they can go meet with our president, the leader of the free world, and then say that he's some Zionist and outside the mainstream and the worst we've ever seen for Israel and all this, right after they get $500 million from us. I mean, we just don't act like the country we are a lot of times when we're talking about the Middle East.
And Skip, does that mean that we're, in a sense, we're also hurting ourselves here? I mean, we're hurting our own domestic capabilities?
Absolutely. You know, when you have allies, they're supposed to move forward the ball in the direction we want to go. We have common interests. We act together to achieve those common interests. We have virtually no common interests, especially with the Palestinians right now. Recall that on 9/11, 2001, it was Palestinians cheering the bringing down of the Twin Towers in New York. I mean, these are not people who have our right. interest at stake, and these are not people who have common ethics or interests with us. These are people that have their own agendas, and as long as we keep paying them, they're going to continue to act the way they're acting.
All right, folks, we're taking more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Carl in Florida, line one. Carl, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Carl.
Hi, Jay. Jordan. How much money has already gone to the Palestinian Authority over there?
About $750 million this year, $1.5 billion allocated, and that includes F-16s as well as Abrams tanks. So almost $1 billion. I mean, the number is huge, Jordan, and that's what we've got to stop. We've got to stop the outflow of the funds. That's the biggest thing right now.
Absolutely. I mean, that's – I think the goal here of the members of Congress is to – put a stop to hundreds of millions of dollars unchecked going. And I think this has to be a total reform of how the system works. And I think I'm glad that this, in a way, has shined light on the problems. This whole Arab Spring has shown what's wrong with the way we fund our foreign policy and the State Department and the funds that we give out. It's way too early. And right. the money sits there. And then you can have a regime change. You can have internal civil wars. And the administration gets to decide every bit of where to send this money, even though Congress had to authorize it, because they authorize it so broadly as part of the, you know, the foreign affairs packages and the State Department's funding.
Well, folks, we're going to be taking more of your calls in the next segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we're here for another half hour. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you do on SiriusXM. Just go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And we're going to try to grab one more call before the break. Who's next?
Yep, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Mary Ellen, Illinois, line 5. Mary Ellen, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hi, Jay and Jordan. I have one quick word for these people that are asking for this money. They're scammers, and because of that, our border security is being compromised, and then the North Korean people think that we're easy targets.
Well, I mean, you know, you're right about this. I mean, we're getting nothing for it. I mean, David, is it fair to say we're getting nothing for this?
We're getting worse than nothing. We're getting continued funding of an enemy regime, both in Egypt and in Palestine. I mean, this is worse than throwing the money away.
So if you think that it's time to say we're not going to fund our enemies, that it's almost like it's an act of treason to fund your enemy, it would be, then you add your name to this petition, folks. Everybody that's listening to me right now, if you're not one of the 135,000 that have signed on to this petition, do it right now. It's funding the enemy, funding treason, basically, against our own country, let alone the Christians in the region and the state of Israel. So if you're concerned about it, you go to ACLJ.org and you sign that petition, or you call us right now, folks. This, in my mind, funding the enemy, that's a thing you're not allowed to do. 1-877-989-2255 is the number. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org. But if you're sick and tired of funding our enemies, then you go to ACLJ.org or call right now at 877-989-2255. And by the way, we're at Matching Challenge. Go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you give, we get a matching grant for. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in just a moment.
Now the Obama administration is planning to give $500 million to the terrorist-led Palestinian Authority, an organization that celebrates suicide bombers. Stand with the ACLJ now. Sign on to our petition. It's time to stop sending our taxpayer dollars to jihadist radicals. Let's sequester terrorists before we sequester Americans. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. Inside the Supreme Court on the same-sex marriage case, according to some reports coming out of the SCOTUS blog, which is a pretty good source, there's a feeling that there's 80% likelihood that the Defense of Marriage Act will be struck as unconstitutional. That according to those that are inside the courtroom there. So that would return, again, returning the issue kind of in the states. Say four justices see it more of a civil rights issue. Justice Kennedy apparently saw it more of a states' rights issue to let the states decide. We'll see what happens. We'll keep everybody posted. 1-800-684-3110. We've had a lot of people holding. Let's go right to the phones. Jordan, who's next?
Yep, back to the phones. We go. People have been holding on the line. Let's go to Jeff in Oregon, line two. Jeff, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, brothers, thank you for your tireless fighting for freedom for us. Really appreciate it. I got a quick comment and a question. Comment would be just to challenge everybody listening to study up on Islam and understand what their agenda is. And then the other, the comment, I guess, or the question would be, one of you guys mentioned administration after administration keeps, you know, thinking they can unite Palestinians and bring peace. And I guess my question would be, do they just flat out not understand the spiritual aspect of?
Well, I think they don't understand the spiritual aspect. I think it's naive on the geopolitical aspect. Skip, you were just from in the region. Is your sense that there's any desire really on these radical regimes now taking over? You're going to see it in Syria. You're seeing it in Egypt. You know, with Hamas. They're not interested in peace. They're interested in domination.
Well, and to them, domination is peace. To them, once they drive out the Jews and they can get back the entire period of, or the entire place of Palestine, that is victory, and that's their desire. You can even look today at the Palestinian Authority's logo, and it's got there's no Israel in Palestine. The whole part of Palestine is green, and it belongs to the state of Palestine. So even though they have words saying one thing, their desire is to get the entire territory and to toss the Jews back into the sea.
Yeah, that's unfortunately where they're at. Let's go, Jordan, let's take number six. Let's take Rick's call coming from Oregon.
Yep, Rick, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, I want to make a quick statement.
Sure.
With all this evil giving and giving to destroy us, and I'm a Christian. I belong to the Jerusalem prayer team.
Yes, sir.
And my feeling is, how can I pay my income taxes?
Well, the courts have said you can't not pay your income taxes because you disagree with the policy of the government, and the rationale is that if you did that, then anyone who disagrees would simply opt out of the taxing system. But you can exercise your vote. And that's where this makes a difference, David. It's not as if, Rick, you can do nothing. It's exercising your vote to have administrations and candidates and nominees and government members that support your worldview in the political process.
Well, and in speaking out on this issue, we've already seen our members make a difference.
Yep.
I mean, the $250 million that was given to Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood government, the administration wanted it to be double that. And because there's been such an outcry, Congress was able to at least hold back some. So it could be worse than it is. We've begun to slow it down, and the outcry is building. When we first started talking about this issue, nobody was talking about it. Now we have seen repeated amendments introduced in the Senate, and we're making progress.
Jordan, I know we're tight on time here. Do you sense up there in Washington right now that the progress is starting to pick, momentum is picking up our way?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, the fact that we're at a point now where the American people and the people listening to this broadcast are actually talking about these issues, following them, that we're talking about budgeting, that we're talking about what we're spending on foreign affairs. It's something that Washington did not want discussed, and now our members of Congress are and the people are.
Reports coming out of the Supreme Court say that the Supreme Court likely to strike down the Defense of Marriage Act. I'm sure we'll have some more on that on tomorrow's broadcast. Coming up, folks, we've got a lot more to discuss. You're going to want to stay tuned. Again, if you haven't signed the petition, do it today at ACLJ.org. Make that online gift. We could really use your help. That is effectively doubled for us. So whatever you donate, we get a matching grant for. ACLJ.org or call in right now at 1-877-989-2255. It's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
Hey
Every American is being asked to tighten their financial belts. Deep cuts are on the horizon thanks to the budget mess in Washington and the sequester. But amazingly, in the midst of this financial crisis, the Obama administration is planning to send more taxpayer dollars overseas to terrorist-led governments. That's right, first it was an additional $250 million to Egypt and the hostile Muslim Brotherhood. Now the Obama administration is planning to give $500 million to the terrorist-led Palestinian Authority, an organization that celebrates suicide bombers. Stand with the ACLJ now. Sign on to our petition. It's time to stop sending our taxpayer dollars to jihadist radicals. Let's sequester terrorists before we sequester Americans. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Obviously, today we're talking about the ridiculous sums of money that we're sending to terrorist-led nations while we're making sequestration cuts to our own military. But folks, as you've probably heard, there's a lot of other issues going on in Washington, D.C., and the big one, the one that's attracting a lot of protests, a lot of media coverage, are the Supreme Court oral arguments on two of the same-sex marriage cases. Yesterday, of course, the court heard arguments in the California Proposition 8 ban on same-sex marriage, and then today they are hearing arguments on the 1996 DOMA law that was signed by President Clinton that defines marriage as between a man and a woman. And Jay was actually on with Sean Hannity on Fox News TV last night talking about these two arguments, giving his predictions and analysis over how those arguments may play out and what ultimately may be decided by the court. I want you to go ahead and take a listen to that interview now. This is Jay last night on with Sean Hannity.
Welcome to Hannity Tonight. All eyes were on the highest court in the land today as the Supreme Court justices heard oral arguments in a case that could redefine marriage in this country. Now, earlier, the justices inside the chamber weighed the merits of Proposition 8. That's California's ban on same-sex marriage. Meanwhile, outside, supporters on both sides of the issue made sure that their presence was felt. Now, audio of the oral arguments from earlier today gave us some insight into what the justices were, in fact, thinking. Now, this is what Justice Samuel Alito had to say.
What is your response to the argument, which has already been mentioned, about the need to be cautious in light of the newness of the concept of same-sex marriage? The one thing that the parties in this case seem to agree on is that marriage is very important. It's thought to be a fundamental building block of society and its preservation essential for the preservation of society. And traditional marriage has been around for thousands of years. Same-sex marriage is very new. I think it was first adopted in the Netherlands in 2000. So there isn't a lot of data about its effect. And it may turn out to be a good thing. It may turn out not to be a good thing, as the supporters of Proposition 8 apparently believe. But you want us to step in and render a decision based on an assessment of the effects of this institution, which is newer than cell phones or the internet? I mean, we do not have the ability to see the future.
Now, even Justice Kennedy openly expressed that maybe the court was acting too quickly on the issue. Listen to this.
The problem with the case is that you're really asking, particularly because of the sociological evidence you cite, for us to go into uncharted waters, and you can play with that metaphor. There's a wonderful destination, or there's a cliff, whatever the metaphor is. You're doing so in a case where the opinion is very narrow, basically that once the state goes halfway, it has to go all the way or 70% of the way. And you're doing so in a case where there's a substantial question on standing. I just wonder if the case was properly granted.
Joining me now with reaction from the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, Fox News political analyst Juan Williams. You know, I listened to the testimony. I like to listen to the stuff, Jay. I really do. Pretty fascinating. But right out of the gate, I mean, it was all about standing, and the idea that there was no precedence for the court as it relates to dealing with referendum initiative issues. So I thought they were all skeptical in some way.
I think that it's fair to say that the court is looking at the case and wondering, gee, should we take in the case in the first place? The standing issue, as Justice Kennedy just said in the oral argument clip you just played, has been significant in the briefing process. It was significant. In fact, I would say it dominated the oral arguments today at the Supreme Court. The question whether the Proposition 8 plaintiffs in the case, those that are the proponents of Proposition 8, should in fact have standing to defend it, this time at the Supreme Court of the United States. It raises a technical legal issue. I don't want to get into the technical side of it, but Sean, you're right. When you listen to the transcript, you never go by the oral arguments because you never know how it's going to come out. But a lot of the justices, I say a majority of the justices, were skeptical about making a blanket rule for the entire country. I think they're cautious. They don't want a Roe versus Wade type of analysis. I think they want to see this work out through the political process as a republic. That's the way it works in our country. That's the way it's supposed to work on an issue like this. The state should be the laboratories to determine what happens. You see over time, that is what I think probably a majority of the justices feel. And even some of the justices that are probably in favor of same-sex marriage are also cautious about going too far too quick. And I think that was the general sentiment today.
From Ruth Bader Ginsburg to Justice Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, I was actually surprised at many of their questions. But you're right, you can't discern how they're going to vote based on some of the questioning. Right. You can infer, but you know sometimes you can be wrong. What about what Justice Alito had to say, Juan Williams, when he said, hey, we don't have the ability to see into the future. We're talking about an institution that is newer than cell phones and the internet. That was a pretty strong statement I felt from him.
Well, I think it was strong. I mean, the whole idea is, and I think Jay's exactly right, the argument today was largely about standing, but the overall tone was one of reluctance to make a ruling here. And this picks up on the man who is identified as the likely swing vote in this whole affair, which is Justice Kennedy. And Kennedy just said recently, why should 9 unelected men or women, who have a narrow legal background, be allowed to make a decision of this momentous consequence for the entire society, which is sort of, I'm just a Supreme Court justice, why are you asking me? But I got to say, that when you look at this issue, it looks like these men and women are afraid of it in some sense because it is so divisive, Sean.
Well, I think it's because of what Jay said, though, because they don't want Roe v. Wade was always bad law. And I think that they view
it. Well, I disagree. Think it was bad law in the sense that what it did was it froze the state legislatures. I could see if you're making that case that the states should be the ones made the decision.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me go to another point.
Right. Justice Ginsburg actually has said that. I mean, she said that while she supports the abortion right, she said the way it was pronounced in Roe was incorrect because of exactly what it did. And I think Juan and I agree here, I think we all do, that, Sean, the reality is we may see some of this tomorrow, too, because there's a standing issue in that case that the court has brought up on its own motion. And we will see if it dominates tomorrow's argument. But this may be a situation where the court decides that the best incubator to see how, in fact, the definition of marriage should move forward is going to be to leave it to the states to work out on an individual basis. That may not work out well for those that were in favor of Proposition 8 because they would probably leave the Ninth Circuit
opinion
in place.
I agree with you, Jay. Yep. And you said earlier it's either going to be no standing or a very narrow focus that they would have, and that would only affect California. Justice Sotomayor asking Ted Olson about where does the restriction end? She brought up the polygamy issue, which surprised me. Yeah. The second one is Justice Kennedy bringing up the issue and the impact that this would have on children. Let me play both of those back to back.
If you say that marriage is a fundamental right, what state restrictions could ever exist? Meaning, what state restrictions with respect to the number of people, with respect to that could get married, the incest laws, the mother and child, assuming that they're the age. I can accept that the state has probably an overbearing interest on protecting a child till they're of age to marry. But what's left?
I think there's substantial, there's substance to the point that this sociological information is new. I mean, we have 5 years of information to weigh against 2,000 years of history or more. On the other hand, there is an immediate legal injury or legal, what could be a legal injury, and that's the voice of these children. There are some 40,000 children in California, according to the Red Brief, that live with same-sex parents. And they want their parents to have full recognition and full status. The voice of those children is important in this case, don't you think?
Jay, I thought there were two very interesting points here. One, are there going to be any restrictions? Is the definition of marriage now forever changed? Does that include if somebody wants to marry four people? I mean, I was surprised Sotomayor brought that
up. The government could, I think the answer to the first one, Sean, would have been, and Ted Olson's a brilliant lawyer, Chuck, the lawyers on both sides are great lawyers. But the easy answer is there's a compelling government interest to not allow polygamy. And that could have answered that question, whatever side of the debate you're on this. But the question on what you heard from Justice Kennedy may well be the opinion in this case. And that is they limit this to California, let the other states deal with it, because Justice Kennedy seemed reluctant, at least from the oral argument, to penalize, in a sense, those 40,000 kids that parents are same-sex
Juan,
parents.
Would you be happy
so
with
the court's
that
gonna be very cautious here, I suspect.
Juan, and by the way, I didn't even bring up Obama's flipping and flopping on the issue, because we don't have time, but would that be acceptable for you as somebody on the left?
Oh, yeah, I think that they've got to evolve. But you know what? It's not acceptable in terms of rights. Gay people have rights, and they should be protected.
So you want the definition of marriage changed forever?
You make a decision. That would change the entire definition
of marriage in the country.
Don't just kick it back to the states. It's not going to please either side. And, you know, it's eight states who give them every right except marriage.
Where in the Constitution are we going to find it? Wait a minute. Just like a right to privacy, are we going to find a new constitutional right that doesn't exist at the present moment?
No, but if you give them every right except marriage, on what grounds do you deny them marriage?
You're not answering my question. Constitutionally, what do you cite as the reason to change what the word means?
The 14th Amendment says they should be granted equal rights with all other citizens. It doesn't say not homosexuals.
Well, I think all citizens are entitled to equal rights. I think it's a question that the states wrestle with. The states determine what constitutes marriage in the United States. I think that's probably the way it goes.
Again, folks, that was Jay on Last Night with Sean Hannity. We'll keep you updated on that. Call now 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, 877-989-2255.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at ACLJ.org. Every American is being asked to tighten their financial belts. Deep cuts are on the horizon thanks to the budget mess in Washington and the sequester. But amazingly, in the midst of this financial crisis, the Obama administration is planning to send more taxpayer dollars overseas to terrorist-led governments. That's right, first it was an additional $250 million to Egypt and the hostile Muslim Brotherhood. Now the Obama administration is planning to give $500 million to the terrorist-led Palestinian Authority, an organization that celebrates suicide bombers. Stand with the ACLJ now. Sign on to our petition. It's time to stop sending our taxpayer dollars to jihadist radicals. Let's sequester terrorists before we sequester Americans. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Listen, in this segment of the broadcast, I want to play for you two important interviews that Jordan and Nagme did on Fox News. First of all, last night on the record with Greta Van Susteren, and then this morning on America's Newsroom with Jamie Colby. Jordan and Nagme went on to give the update about this new letter that we have from Saeed, how he does not even recognize himself because of the beatings he's taken, and also giving accolades to the State Department, to Secretary John Kerry, for finally issuing the statement that is so important that puts the United States firmly behind Pastor Saeed's case. I want to play both of those interviews for you now so you can hear this update directly from Jordan and Nagme. Let's go ahead and roll those.
The pastor's wife, Nagme Abedini, joins us along with the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow. Welcome, both of you. And Nagme, first to you, your thoughts about this letter from your husband.
It gave me a glimpse of what he's going through in that prison, and it was heart-wrenching to read that he couldn't recognize himself and his mom's reaction. And so it just shows us the urgency of getting him out as soon as possible, and every day counts.
And the reason he couldn't recognize himself was because he's been beaten, is that right? And you're talking about bruises and things like that?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. Talking about his face is basically bruised and looks different, and he's got a beard, and yeah, it talks about his eyes being pretty beaten up and his face.
Have you spoken to his mother at all?
I do. I talk to them on a regular basis.
And what did she say about seeing him?
They see him every Monday, and there's up to now, there's still no medical treatment. He has not been transferred to a hospital. He hasn't been treated yet, and they're waiting for him. There was doctors that examined him, I believe last week, and they promised that they would take him to a private hospital outside of the prison to be treated, and that has not happened yet.
Jordan, a statement came out.
It's very difficult for them.
Jordan, a statement came out from Secretary Kerry. You were surprised and happy?
We were very happy about this. It was a major part of our domestic strategy, getting our top diplomat in the United States of America to issue this kind of statement, make it very clear to the world that Saeed Abedini, an American citizen, which Secretary Kerry did in his statement right off the bat, said U.S. citizen Saeed Abedini, who's imprisoned in Iran, facing abuse, made that clear. The need for medical care made that clear, and that he needs to be released. And it sent a kind of a message to the world of, you can help now.
But what does it mean? Iran doesn't care what we say, what we do. I mean, is this sort of a Pyrrhic victory in the sense that, you know, you're glad that you have the United States behind you? But I mean, does a letter from our Secretary of State or even our President in any way help get someone out of an Iranian prison?
Here's how it helps. I mean, one, we are negotiating with Iran now in the nuclear program, so it's another issue. But the second thing is giving the world clearance. So a country like Brazil or South Korea or Japan that does business with Iran, we may exempt from sanctions, actually, and has a lot of Christians in their country. They see a story like this, they say, why are we doing so much business with Iran? This happened with another pastor who was in prison, who got out, faced the death penalty. And now Brazil never had a go-ahead. This was a U.S. citizen. They needed that. This statement was clear. It said, he needs to get out. And it's kind of like, okay, go to work. People can do their job.
But you talk about the sanctions. I mean, these incredible sanctions against Iran, yet we give waivers to India, China, Japan. I mean, the list goes on and on to buy oil from Iran. So that, you mean, we sort of double deal on this.
Well, I think those are the countries that Brazil is one as well, with its 80% Christian population. This happened naturally there the last time. This time they were waiting. I know the leaders were waiting for a statement that made it okay for them to talk, basically. They've got diplomatic relationship with Iran. They could pick up the phone. I've got senators there who will march into their embassy for me, but this was a U.S. citizen. So they're not going to do that without our Secretary of State saying, let's get him out. And he did that Friday, and it was just a few days after we were on here, Greta, and it was surprising because of his trip in the Middle East, but I think this was a major step forward for us and a good thing, because we need to work with the State Department.
Nagme Abedini, Jordan Sekulow too, Executive Director of the American Center for Law and Justice. Jordan, you've been working so hard on this case. And Nagme, we want to hear first from you about, you're encouraged. Tell us why.
Yes, it was Friday morning was pretty hard because I got that letter from Saeed and it was released about his beating. But it was pretty encouraging to soon after get that statement from Secretary Kerry that he not only was demanding Saeed to be treated at a hospital, but he was actually demanding for Saeed's release.
Immediate release, which has to give you that feeling that if Iran listens, perhaps they'll do that. The big concern I know is his medical condition. Jordan, this is not a way that we allow prisoners to be treated or imprisoned for their faith. What are the chances that he gets that help he needs? I saw when I was researching this, he reports that he doesn't even recognize himself after those beatings.
And that was after only 1 month in prison. I mean, today actually marks exactly 6 months in prison for Saeed. He was imprisoned from his, taken from his home under house arrest on September 26. So it's been 6 months. And after 1 month, he couldn't recognize himself. They shaved his head, he had a long beard. His eyes were really dark. He saw his reflection in an elevator. Going to what was supposed to be a nurse, but then the nurse wouldn't give him medicine because she found out he was unclean because he was a Christian. Now, we know he's gotten a medical review. Then we've got the statement coming out, the great statement from Secretary Kerry, which we've worked very hard to get, and so did Nagme to get that statement. And now we're waiting because Saeed was told that he would get moved to a hospital. That has not happened as of yesterday when the family was able to meet with Saeed, his family that's still in Iran. But it's a very difficult situation, and now it's time to engage the world.
I want to hear about that visit, Nagme. Mm-hmm. Family members that saw him in the last couple of days, what do they tell you?
Yes, this visit was very short, but they were able to confirm that he has not been treated yet, and his internal bleeding is pretty critical and needs to be, as even the doctors that examined him in prison mentioned, he needs to be transferred to a hospital outside of the Evin prison immediately, and he has yet to been, he has not been treated yet or been transferred yet.
You know, Jordan, I'm trying to figure out, what does Iran get out of this?
You know, the pressure is starting to get pretty tough on Iran. We know that their ambassadors to the United Nations are very concerned, and that was before Secretary of State Kerry's statement. And before last week's statement by our UN ambassador to the Human Rights Council. So we had back-to-back, after silence from the State Department's top officials, we only got responses back to questions from their spokespeople. We had the ambassador to the UN Human Rights Council Thursday, and then Friday, the statement from Secretary Kerry. Before that, we knew their ambassadors to the UN were already saying this needs to be reviewed. They were communicating that to the legal team in Iran. So the pressure is there. This is a critical time. We've done a lot of work to get to this point, and everyone out there and all the times we've been on, this is the key time to seize the moment and tell the world, like Secretary Kerry did, the best option is for him to be released. We need to work on that and get this done as quick as possible.
Senator Secretary Kerry calling for immediate release. Actually, before we go, can I ask, as a wife and someone who thinks about her husband and what he's going through right now, what can average Americans do to help get him home?
Well, Saeed is a face of many faces, and my voice is one of the many that of the persecuted Christians all over the world. And I think this has brought great awareness of the Christian persecutions all over the world. And I think average Americans can pray and bring awareness of what's happening to Saeed's situation.
Folks, you heard from Nagme why it's time to stand for Pastor Saeed. We have to not only stand with Saeed, we have to stand with all of those persecuted Christians who are behind Saeed. Call now 877-989-2255 or add your name at ACLJ.org. The United States is finally where it needs to be on Pastor Saeed. You need to be too. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Now the Obama administration is planning to give $500 million to the terrorist-led Palestinian Authority, an organization that celebrates suicide bombers. Stand with the ACLJ now. Sign on to our petition. It's time to stop sending our taxpayer dollars to jihadist radicals. Let's sequester terrorists before we sequester Americans. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.